I'm speaking today with attorney Justin Elaine of asbestosclaims.law, and the subject is a recent survey on awareness about the present day dangers of asbestos and asbestos exposure. We'll talk about the survey results and general awareness around the dangers of asbestos. But before we get into that, let's touch on a brand new development, which was the announcement about the U.S. government finalizing a ban on the use of asbestos. Wasn't asbestos banned back in the 1980s? And what's with this recent announcement?
Sure. Asbestos was banned for quite a lot of uses, but still had some limited uses that left that have been permissible. The amount of asbestos that we've been importing over the last years has dropped and dropped and dropped, so it got to be rather minuscule. So at this point, the ban was long overdue, but the products had almost been entirely phased out of usage in this country anyway.
Essentially, that means that under no circumstances is asbestos available to be used for anything.
Correct. It's not supposed to be a primary ingredient used in anything. Sometimes asbestos can contaminate something else, and of course that's not supposed to happen either. But as far as people specifying asbestos as a raw ingredient for manufacturing or usage of products, that's over in the U.S. as of now.
So let's talk about these survey results. The survey showed that 86% of respondents had not undergone any medical examinations or testing specifically related to asbestos exposure. And did you find this surprising? And also, can you talk a little bit about the process of testing and how it's done?
I was surprised that such a high number of people hadn't had any tests, considering how many of the respondents looked like they've worked in blue-collar type industries where working with or around asbestos would have been possible. Typically, those people who work with asbestos or could have been exposed to asbestos in the workplace are supposed to get tested every year or every 2 years, depending on which policy they're going under, for asbestos markers of asbestos exposure. The testing is very simple. It's a simple chest x-ray, sometimes with a follow-up with a breath test. It's called a spirometry test, and it's checking to see how much air that you can get out of your lungs and how much you can get into your lungs. And those two diagnostic tools, a breath test and an x-ray, are still the primary tools to diagnose somebody has an asbestos-related illness.
Okay, I see. And also, I believe that I understand that if you already have an x-ray, a chest x-ray, if you've been x-rayed for another reason, say lung cancer or something, then you don't need to get retested. The test for asbestos exposure can be done from that existing x-ray. Is that correct?
As long as it's a good quality x-ray, yes, the x-ray needs to be of sufficient quality that a physician looking at it could actually see the various portions of your lung. But if it's a proper x-ray, then yes, any existing x-ray would work.
Well, let's talk about some more of the results. Across demographics, Boomer, Gen X, Millennial, and Gen Z, there was also a low correlation rate between testing and age, particularly the Boomers, with 99% saying that they had not undergone any testing. Seems worrisome. Talk a little bit about these results from a demographic perspective and why this is worrisome.
Sure, it's a great question. One of the things that's unique about asbestos is it takes many years after exposed before you're going to develop an illness. Back 100 years ago, when people were working with asbestos in massive quantities that they haven't done in a long time, even back in those days, it took a minimum of 7 or 8 years of daily exposure before somebody would get sick. In the current time frame that we're living in, since they phased out hardcore usage of asbestos many decades ago, people had lesser exposure, and as a consequence of that, a lot of people are getting sick 30, 40, or 50 years after they've started working with asbestos. So I was very surprised that the Boomers have not been tested as much, because that's the demographic that would be in the most risk. Realistically, a Millennial or a Gen Z, they're probably too young to have been developed much unless they were exposed as a child, and that would have been obviously not occupational. So I was definitely concerned to see that the Boomers had such a low testing rate, since they're absolutely the ones at the highest risk of being exposed to asbestos back in their own day and of having the illnesses developed today.
So you say the latency period is as long as 50 years. Is it 50 years, or could it be longer than that?
There's no known limit. I think I've heard of cases where it's been close to 60 years, but I mean, at that point, I think your limits are just how long people live.
Well, when asked about how concerned they were about the potential health impact of asbestos, another worrisome fact from the data report, when asked about how concerned they were about the potential health impact of asbestos exposure, 36% said they were either only slightly concerned or not concerned at all. Why, in this day and age, with asbestos largely not being used anymore, should people be concerned about the potential health impact of exposure?
It's all about that latency period. It doesn't really matter if we've banned asbestos today, because if you were exposed to it 20 or 30 years ago, that's what your problem would be. That's what you'd get sick from. Similarly, if somebody worked with a lot of asbestos today in 2024, I wouldn't expect to see anybody develop an illness until the 2040s or 2050s at the soonest, realistically. So the reason people need to be concerned is that asbestos was utilized so extensively in the past in so many different ways that they could have been exposed at home or at work or in the car, but decades ago. That's when their exposure concerns really should have been.
I see. And you mentioned at home, so is there still a potential risk for people who are in older homes? Is there asbestos in those homes? And could there still be a potential risk for exposure for those people?
Absolutely. Asbestos was used extensively in the construction industry because it was inexpensive, it was durable, and it was fireproof. So they used it in all different types of household products, insulation, drywall, mastics, glues, all kinds of various portions of the house. So your big concern would be, you know, maybe you bought an older home and you're going to do a renovation to it. The renovation could kick up a lot of asbestos dust. If you're drilling into things that have asbestos, you're making it airborne. If you're pulling up carpet or floor tiles that were secured with asbestos adhesives, that stuff's going to go into the air. So the risk is if you bought a home that has asbestos in it, you could be exposed to it through a renovation. And additionally, if the home is old enough and asbestos workers used to live in that house, they would have brought asbestos fibers into the house on their clothing, and those fibers will recirculate through the air conditioning ducts for years and years and years, so unsuspecting buyers could be breathing that in.
Let's talk about the top industries where asbestos was used in the past and why secondhand asbestos exposure should be a concern when it comes to people who worked in these industries. And before going into that, describe a little bit about what secondhand exposure is.
Sure. Just like secondhand smoke is when you breathe smoke of somebody else's cigarette, secondhand asbestos exposure is when you breathe asbestos dust that somebody else had disturbed. So a very classic way that that could happen is somebody has a job where they work with asbestos, and then they come home and their work clothes have asbestos dust on them. They've now brought the dust into the home, and whoever in the household launders the clothes most likely is going to shake them, or they're going to release the asbestos dust into the atmosphere of the room they're in. And that will stay for a long time, and then they can breathe that.
If you purchase a home, say a legacy home, and the potential that someone had worked in the asbestos industry in that home, and you purchased that home not knowing that that person had worked in the industry, there, I think what you said was there could be asbestos fibers in that home and you may not know that. So you may be moving into a home where those fibers exist and you're at risk without knowing that that the fibers are in the home. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. It's not just, of course, the home. It's any older building in which asbestos fibers were released. Merely stepping on, you know, dust in an abandoned building, for example, could kick the fibers up. If it's an active building where people have been living in it, like a home, the fibers can still circulate. They'll drop down on the carpet, and as soon as somebody steps on the carpet, that can put them back up into the air. So if it's an older home that had a lot of asbestos fibers in it, there could be an atmospheric concentration that people are breathing.
And asbestos fibers are essentially non-destructible. So even over decades, those asbestos fibers don't lose the potential impact of danger. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Asbestos, it is a mineral. So just like any other mineral, it's not going to degrade just because it's on the floor. If you went outside and got a piece of talc or gypsum and just dropped it on your kitchen floor, come back in 50 years, it's still going to be there. Similar principles apply with asbestos.
Well, before we wrap up, let's talk about, were there any other results from the survey that jumped out at you? Any data points that people should be aware of and concerned with?
I think the biggest data point that I saw just that was concerning for me was the lack of awareness of how easy it is to get tested, especially among the older audience. The boomers are the ones who really are at the highest risk. Getting a chest x-ray is a very simple process and just takes a few minutes, and as the cliche goes, it could save your life. Asbestos can cause a number of diseases, some of which are cancers, and the earlier you catch it, the better your survival chances are.
Great, great. Well, thanks for your time. And if people want to learn more about this or to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
My website is www.asbestosclaims.law. The only kind of law I practice is asbestos law, and we've built a really good website with a lot of information that answers a lot of the common questions that people have.
Well, Justinian, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.